All right, it looks like the recording is going, so if you'd like to begin the meeting.
Thank you. I'd like to call the Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors May 6, 2020 general meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call. Let the record reflect that the all board members are in attendance, as well as all staff members that are listed on the agenda. Announcements. These are our standard announcements that appear every month. I'll read the first part, which basically says that our meetings, township meetings, are recorded for the purposes of preparing the minutes, and the recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting will also be recorded by the teleconference provider. Mark, can you mention any executive sessions that we've held?
Yes, we held executive sessions on April 30th, May 4th, and May 5th, all for the interviews of the wastewater engineer. The 30th was more planning, getting the questions ready in the form of the interview, since we're doing the interviews on Zoom, so it's kind of a new format for everyone, even the engineers. And then on the 4th and the 5th of May, we did interviews of wastewater engineers.
Great. Thank you. That brings us
Chuck,
to...
Chuck, can I just make one comment? This is just about the format. Some of you have come on your phone. Some of you have come on with your tablets. We don't know who you are if your name is not attached to your device. So if you are making a comment, please identify yourself by name and address so we can get you into the public record. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Marla. And we will try to announce for those of you who do not have a video, we'll announce who's speaking, especially when we do any kind of motions. So that's clear. So that brings us to administrative actions. We've got two sets of minutes for our consideration for approval. The first set of minutes are from our Board of Supervisors general meeting on March the 10th, 2020. Can I get a motion for approval?
I'll make the motion.
Oh, sorry. Noel Halter made the motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second the motion. This is Dan Orff.
Okay, Dan Orff seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor of approving the March 10th, 2020 board minutes, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Right. Any against? Okay, so it looks like that was unanimous. Next set of minutes are for our Board of Supervisors. I guess that would be what, our general meeting on April the 7th, 2020. Can I get a motion for approval of those minutes?
Noel, I'll motion.
Well, then
I'm going to give that one to Marla. Oh, okay. Noelle made the motion.
I'll second.
Marla seconded? Right. We are having a little bit of an audio delay, so apologize for the confusion. Okay, so we have a motion for approval from Noelle and a second from Marla Hexter. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any against?
Aye.
Is that a unanimous? Yes, right? Great. That brings us to our treasurer's report. Mark, can you please give us your treasurer's report or the treasurer's report?
Yep. The cash balance in the general fund as of May 1st is $1,533,202.91. The cash balance in the sewer fund as of May 1st is $602,800.04. The list of checks in the general fund this month total $136,653.86. I want to make note that is a bigger number than normal, but the fire company will receive a check for $45,750, and the ambulance company will be receiving a check for $34,157. So when the township collects the taxes, as most a lot of people's taxes are paid in their mortgages, so at the end of the normal tax period, we get in most of the payments, and then we make those payments to the fire and ambulance company. So the list of checks in the sewer fund total $21,945.67. During the month of April, we have continued working on the sewer loan, looking at a rate reduction. We're working with our solicitor and the bank and reviewing the documentations that were done in 2018 by the bond council at that time. And we are also looking at the financials in light of the current COVID situation.
Is that your complete report, Mark?
Yep, that's the report.
Okay, so first off, we need to make a motion to approve the list of checks that Mark mentioned in both the general fund and the sewer fund. Can I get a motion for that?
This is Dan Orff. Okay, this is Dan Orff. I move to approve the list of checks in the general fund in the amount of $136,653.86, and in the sewer fund in the amount of $21,945.67, and further move to authorize payment of same.
Thank you, Dan. I will second Dan's motion. So we have a motion from Dan Orff, a second from Chuck Yizer. Any discussion on the bills that Mark or on the treasurer report? Okay, all in favor of approving the motion that Dan put forth in terms of paying the list of checks in the general fund and the sewer fund? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against?
Aye.
Aye what, Noelle? Are you for it?
Yeah, I'm for it.
Okay. It came in late. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. So we have a unanimous vote to approve the checks. Thank you. All right. Next item on our agenda is public comment on agenda items. I guess, Mark, you're going to wait a minute or two for people,
yep. Or give everybody how are we handling seconds. This? I have nothing, Chuck, so.
Okay, thank you. All right, so moving along to reports. First report from our township engineer.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Carol Schuler, Township Engineer from Value Engineering. Got three items on my report this evening. The first is the Swamp Creek Road culvert. There's an existing 30-inch pipe under Swamp Creek Road that's insufficient to convey even small storm events. And when the culvert capacity is exceeded, the overflow crosses the road. Nearby property owners report that flow enters their garage. The pipe is to be replaced with a 72-inch wide by 30-inch high box culvert. Replacing the undersized pipe with a larger box culvert is an eligible project for the low volume road program. A grant application to the low volume road program is ready for submission. All necessary plan approvals and permits from outside agencies have been obtained for this project. The requested grant amount is $77,748. At this point, the application must be signed by the township manager for submission to the Montgomery County Conservation District. The next item on my report is to advise the board and seek some direction regarding a traffic impact study. Traffic Planning and Design is working on the required traffic study for the Prestige project on Little Road. The township zoning ordinance requires this study to be submitted with conditional use or preliminary plan applications. TPD has asked for opinion on the volume assumptions they're making as they proceed with the study. And here's why. The township code requires current counts of existing traffic. And of course, if they went out this month and took current counts, that's really not what we want. That's really not going to be of value given the current stay-at-home orders. So TPD assembled information from 2019 counts that were made on local roads, state roads for Melbourne Hill, but they had to adjust some older counts and make extrapolations for Swamp Creek Road at Big Road, Gerloff Road at Big Road, and Little Road at Simmons Road. Now these counts and these assumptions were reviewed with PennDOT because they will also have to make a submission to PennDOT as part of a traffic impact study for their highway occupancy permits. So they did go over these assumptions with PennDOT and PennDOT reviewed them and found them to be acceptable. I also find the assumptions they made to be conservative and appropriate. And if it's acceptable to the board, I will reply to the traffic engineer at TPD that the assumptions seem reasonable, but the township reserves the right to request updated counts at these local intersections if Montgomery County lifts the stay-at-home orders prior to conditional use approval. The final thing on my report is a late addition because just late this afternoon, we received an email from the Montgomery County Planning Commission confirming that the Goshen Road sidewalk plans are accepted. And the township can go ahead and bid the project. So if it suits the board, authorization to move forward with the project may be added to the next meeting agenda. Those are all the items on my report this evening, and I'd certainly take any questions that the board might have on these or other engineering matters.
Carol, yeah, this
Carol,
is Marla.
I have a question
couple
for
questions.
You.
Oh.
Can Marla go first and then Noelle?
Sorry, Noelle, it's that delay again. I had a couple questions, Carol, about the traffic study. What are other townships doing for traffic studies? Is there some kind of a model out there for us to follow, or are people just winging it?
Well, this is the way things are right now. As I say, this is what TPD also had to do for PennDOT. This is what they're having to do for other studies as well. I guess it's our good fortune that they just happened to take traffic counts from Melbourne Hill for that highway occupancy permit traffic impact study within the past year, so that was handy. So the assumptions that they made really aren't huge extrapolations. They had count data from these other three intersections that were about 10 years old. So they've adjusted them to match the counts that are out there at the nearby state intersections today. And I think it's really a very simple and conservative approach. And I don't see any reason to reject it. But since this is so important to the township to have a good understanding of traffic impacts. And since it is part of the zoning code, I just wanted to make sure the board was aware that that this was happening and was agreeable to me telling them that it's acceptable and adding a caveat that the township has the right to request an adjustment later if it's appropriate.
Sorry, I have a quick follow-up. Is there any kind of time limitation on our request for them to do an update? I mean, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? I mean, we don't know how long the restrictions will go on.
Sure. What I was going to reply to them was that they're acceptable, but the township reserves the right to request updated counts prior to conditional use approval, because that's when the boards really use this information to determine if they want to apply any conditions to a proposed development at conditional use. So if the stay-at-home orders are lifted and traffic returns to normal before they get here to ask for approval of their conditional use application, that the township's reserving the right to make the adjustment up until that time.
Thank you.
Hey, Carol, this is Dan Orr. Just to clarify, when you say the estimates were conservative, does that mean that they erred on higher volume or lower volume?
Correct. They erred on higher volume.
Okay, that's, because usually conservative means conservative, but this, in this case, conservative means error on the high side versus the low side.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Sort of a worst case scenario, if you would.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for clarifying.
Noelle, did you have a question?
Yeah, actually, I got some information from the other questions, which was really great. I guess based on what you've shared so far, Carol, is I think that I would feel a lot more comfortable with the language that you would go back in saying that the township reserves the right to request updated counts at these local intersections when Montgomery County lifts the stay-at-home orders. As opposed to if.
Okay. All right. And so that would go right up to conditional use approval. Are we all, am I correct in utilizing that as a time frame? Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yeah, I mean that depending upon when they put in an application and it gets that could easily be the fall or sometime during the winter, right?
Right. So in my reply, I'll take Noelle's input there and say that the township preserves the right to request updated counts at these intersections, and instead of if, I'll say should Montgomery County lift the stay-at-home orders prior to conditional use approval. That satisfactory to everybody?
Well, I think I actually used the word when.
Yeah, I guess.
Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead, Chuck. I was just going to say, I think the thing is, it's the when wouldn't work if conditional use approval came prior to them lifting. That's the right. That's the English, the grammatical or English problem that we're dealing with here. So. The using if or should Montgomery County lift the stay-at-home orders prior to the conditional use. So if we went past, basically, should they not lift them before we hit conditional use? That's what you're trying to say, right, Carol?
That's correct.
Along those
yes.
lines. So it needs to be a should or an if. We assume they'll lift them eventually, but it may come after conditional use approval.
Yeah, and I'm trying to leave some leeway for the township to reserve the right, because if we go from red to yellow and traffic increases a little bit, but we're not up to where we were in 2019, you might not want them to do a recount. So I'm trying to give the township the maximum flexibility when I reply that, yeah, okay, we like this, but we can still ask you for more later.
I think I'll that's concede. A fair way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thank you for your guidance on that. I appreciate it. That was just too important to not have guidance. Thank you.
So, Carol, is your report complete at this point?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, so we need to make a motion to authorize the submission of the grant for the low volume road program, right? So that Mark can sign the application and we can send that in.
Correct.
I'll move to authorize the submission of a low volume road program grant for the replacement of the Swamp Creek culvert in the amount of $77,748.
Okay, so that's Noel Halter making the motion. Can I have a second? Chuck Yizer will make the second. We'll second Noel's motion. Any discussion? Great. All in favor of the motion made by Noel Halter to authorize a grant submission, say aye.
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 Any against? Great. So it was unanimous. I guess, do we need to make a motion on the second item as well?
I think you gave direction. That was just right. To give direction to Carol.
Okay.
Sorry, Chuck. I have a question for Carol about the Goshen Road project. Again, what is standard now? Should we go out to bid? Can a contractor come in and do that work? Or what is the appropriate approach?
Yes, so construction activity has resumed. We're bidding projects again. Projects are getting built again. So at any point that the board wants to authorize us to move forward, we will move forward. Since this came in so late today, it seemed too late to add it to the agenda. But the next step would be for the board to authorize preparation of bid documents and advertising of the project. That would be the next step in the process.
Great.
And just for a clarifying point, we had a lengthy discussion several months ago about a request the county had made for an additional intersection with ADA compliant crossings. I just want to clarify that we are going to submit that bid with that in it if we can get the work done within our budget. Is that correct?
That's exactly my recollection of it as well. We replied to the county that we would extend the sidewalk to that intersection with an accessible ramp, but we do it as an alternate on our bid package so that if it didn't come within the budget scope, that it wouldn't be, we wouldn't move forward with that little piece of extension. That's exactly correct. You remember it as I do.
Thank you.
Aru.
Sorry, and one quick follow-up. Is there any disadvantage to putting it out to bid this time of year? We're going right into summer.
Well, you need to have it done by a certain date in 2021 based on the Montgo grant program. This coronavirus, I think, has upended so much. I don't know exactly where prices are going to come in right now. It might be that getting it out right now is to your advantage because everybody's hungry to get back to work again. But I don't have a clear answer for you on that, and I apologize. This is kind of a whole new game this month.
Chuck, do we need to make a motion on this at this point in time, or does it wait to the next meeting?
No, I think it'll be on our agenda for the next meeting. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah, we'll have that on the, we'll briefly talk about it at the workshop, and then it would be on the June 3rd general meeting agenda to approve to go out the bid.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Carol. Township staff reports, Chief Maxey.
Thank you. Good evening. During the month of April, we had 264 calls for service in the township. I would like to take an opportunity to actually thank two separate individuals, actually three separate individuals, who have done some really nice things for the police department, and I think they deserve to be recognized. Township Supervisor Marla Hexter and Citizen Gail Gosser made reusable and washable face masks for each of the officers here in the police department, and they have just been wonderful. We really appreciate that, and it's eliminated us from having to use the N95s, which there's some controversy right now circulating whether you can actually continue to reuse these indefinitely. They need to be decontaminated, whereas these washable face masks, we can take them home at the end of our shift and throw them in the washing machine and reuse them the next day. So I just want to express to both Marla and Gail, thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. I'd also like to recognize Citizen Justin Fisher, a resident here, who took it upon himself to send kind of a care package over to the police department and to the ambulance corps. And it contained some candy and sweets and things to kind of keep us going. And I sincerely appreciate that. We really want to thank him for taking the time to do that. And my final item on my report is that we received a check from District Court 38203 in the amount of $1,089.61. These monies represent traffic and criminal fines paid by defendants in various matters brought before the court. And that's the conclusion of my report.
Chief, can I just jump in with a comment, a couple comments?
Absolutely.
One, you're very welcome. If the guys need any more, we can make you some more. But I also wanted to mention, and maybe you can give more detail, there seems to have been an uptick in domestic violence since the stay-at-home order. And there are resources out there for families. With everybody at home, it's more difficult to get out and get some help. So, I mean, would you be able to speak to some of these resources?
Sure, absolutely. Obviously, for our biggest concern right now is that we're seeing an increase in domestic situations here in the township, as well as throughout the United States. And I know that the media has publicized a lot of this, but they're totally correct on it. We're very concerned about domestic violence inside the household, as well as we're seeing an uptick in abuse on children. There are resources that exist. Obviously, we would ask anybody that is in a position that they can call the police department. If you need immediate assistance or there's an active domestic going on, we will get somebody out there right away. 911 is your best route for that. Also, through the county offers various places for assistance for people in need. The Women's Center of Montgomery County is a confidential operation where you can call and they can get you support. We work very closely with them. The Women's Center obviously has resources and grant funding available to assist people if they need to relocate from residences, or they just need counseling, or they need to talk to somebody and get guidance, and it's totally confidential. Another resource is Laurel House. Laurel House provides a lot of similar services. Both of these organizations are really top-notch in my book, and we've worked with them over the years, and I have total confidence in them. Child abuse situations are a little bit more of a touchy situation. Office of Children and Youth would be a place where somebody could call. But once again, if you believe or somebody believes that maybe a neighbor or a child is in danger, 911 police should be the first phone call, and we will investigate it. I just want to also reassure members of the public that information coming into the police department under these circumstances will be kept anonymous. We don't divulge where that information came from, and if necessary, we would redact that from reports in accordance with freedom of information, et cetera, because we want people to feel comfortable calling and not feeling like they're going to put themselves and their families in a direct firing line with a neighbor or something of that nature. So those are some of the resources that I can offer right now. Through the school system, and this is through legislation that changed in Pennsylvania, the Safe to Say Network, we get calls of various natures that come in through that. And it's designed, obviously, if we feel as though there may be some sort of a threat that is going to take place or happen on a campus. But ultimately, we get a lot of things filtered through that. And that is also something that if somebody wanted to call and remain totally anonymous and give a tip, that tip would be passed off to us, especially if it involves, say, a child or a student that maybe is the recipient of some sort of dangerous situation inside their home or maybe even towards another student. But those are the resources. And once again, we're here to help in any way we can. We know that this is very difficult. And as time is kind of progressing, frustrations and issues inside the home, and I think even in the best of circumstances, frustration starts to rear its head, but we're here to help in any capacity and talk to people. And a lot of times just having the police stop out, if you're having a problem with a child that's maybe misbehaving or is not listening, we're happy to go out and talk and intervene and kind of redirect the situation if that would be of benefit.
Thank you. And I also wanted to remind everybody, you know, kind of keep an eye on your neighbors, people down the street from you. If you know someone maybe who's elderly or disabled or who has trouble getting out, maybe they don't have a car or you haven't seen them in a while, you know, our neighbors are out there who may need, you know, some groceries picked up or a prescription picked up. So let's all keep an eye on our neighbors and people who live near us to make sure everybody gets what they need.
And Marla, I just want to add one thing to that. We have received some calls about people in need in our community, and we've been able to plug them in into food services and things like that. We had a few people that were having difficulty acquiring food, either because they're kind of indigent and they can't get out. In one case, the person doesn't own a vehicle, and we're more than happy to do it. And even if that means us having to bring food ourselves to the person, we will do whatever needs to be done to continue to support the community through this kind of trying time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Maxey, for the, you know, very complete report and all the other information. I don't know whether we probably have put some of the things that you've said already on our website and Facebook page. Perhaps we should consider doing that again if we've done it once.
We can put some of the resources on that Chief talked about. The Chief and I will work to put some of those phone numbers together that we can put out.
All right, because you gave out a lot of good information, but I'm a slow writer. Any other questions for Chief Maxey? Great. Thank you again, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Next report, Roadmaster Tom Manning.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the month of April, we had 2 sewer inspections. We put the plow equipment away. Mowing is started for the season. The street sweeping was performed to the best we could with the stay-at-home restrictions, but we did get a lot cleaned up. The large equipment has been serviced, the backhoe, the loader, the skid steer, and that stuff. We had the debris removed from the Ziegler'sville Road Bridge. We had the lift station wet well cleaned, and we're working on the sign upgrade program. We're waiting for the rest of the signs to come in that are on order right now. And that's my report.
Thank you, Tom. So are you doing street signs as well as stop signs and other signs, or?
Yes, street signs. All the signs we try to pick 3 roads a year to upgrade them. And at that rate, it'll take 18 years to get around to complete them all.
Okay. Sounds about right since the last time they put a stop sign in the end of my street. And I know you guys were just there.
Yeah, you're probably due up for one there.
No, you just did it.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions for our roadmaster? Great. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Yep, you too. Okay, Township Manager's Report. Mark?
Hey, so just to update everyone, Eric and I have worked on the wastewater loan. Unfortunately, the timing between the last meeting and this meeting did not give us enough time to get anything finalized. Eric has been reviewing the loan documents from 2018 and is in touch with the bank. We may have to get in touch with the old bond councils so that he can ask them a couple of questions. So the plan is at this point to have everything ready to go for our May 26th meeting. I know that we normally are not trying to do any actionable items at our workshop meetings, but I think it's in the best interest of the town to do this rate reduction on the wastewater loan. So the plan is to have everything ready to go, and it will be an action item on our May 26th agenda, workshop agenda. I'm going to move on then. The police HVAC unit, we did get three quotes. We got a quote from Hanaberry for $8,975. It's Hanaberry HVAC. We got a quote from IT Landis for $9,245. And we got a quote from Tustin Mechanical for $10,820. We've reviewed all the quotes and would like to request that the board approve the Hanaberry quote in the amount of $8,975. And with that, we need to do a additional check request for $4,487.50. A 50% deposit is required at the time of signing the quote. And then we can get that unit replaced. It is an energy efficient unit, much more energy efficient than the one that we did have. So it looks like it would be a good project.
Just a quick question. This is Dan Werf, Mark. Did all the units have, all the units from the various providers have similar efficiency ratings so that we were apples to apples?
Yeah, they were all.
Comparisons for price?
Yep. They were all right the same. Like the first two were within $400 of each other. I'm not sure what the Tustin, they all have the same number. So I don't know. But
yeah, I just meant from the standpoint of efficiency, you know, from costs. Normally they give you some kind of expectation of how much the cost to operate the system over the course of a year. I was curious if they were similar.
They all voted the same unit. They have the same ID number.
Okay.
It's the same product.
Yeah. It's the exact same product. Okay. That answers the question. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Any other questions for Mark on the HVAC before we make any motions? All right. So we have two motions that we need to make. The first is to approve the quote from Hanaberry, and then the second one will be to approve a payment to Hanaberry, which is basically 50% of the quoted amount. So starting with the first one, anybody willing to make a motion for approving the quote from Hanaberry HVAC in the amount of $8,975?
I'll motion.
Noel Halter makes the motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second. Dan Orff.
Dan Orff seconds. Any further discussion on this? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. So that's unanimous. Second motion is to approve a payment to Hanaberry HVAC in the amount of $4,487.50, which is 50% of the quote. Well, can I get a motion to approve payment?
I'll motion.
Noel makes the motion.
I'll second. Dan Orff.
Terry, I'm going to give this one to Terry.
Okay, go Terry.
Terry Bird seconds the motion. Any further discussion on this?
I just have a question for Mark. I'm assuming this includes removing and disposing of the old unit.
Yep, and they'll capture the old Freon and that kind of stuff, yes. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? I didn't hear any. All in favor of approving payment to Hanaberry, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. So again, unanimous decision there. All right, Mark.
Okay, so the next two items are hearings for ordinances that we advertised before the COVID. This was approved for advertisement before the COVID-19 hit. Since the COVID-19 hit, everything obviously is a little bit different. So our planning commission and the county planning commission did not have a chance to review. I've spoken with both the county and our planning commission, and they will get those. They hope to get those reviewed this month. But to keep things official, we will be opening the hearing. We have to allow for public comment, and then we will continue the hearing until June 3rd. At that hearing, we will again do the same thing. We will open the hearing. We will talk about it. We will allow for public comment. And then if the board approves the ordinance, then it will be approved. But I just want to put that out in front of everyone before we start. Everyone will have a second chance to make a comment if they like on either of these ordinances. But we do have to open the hearing today because that is what we advertised it for. So I'd like to open the hearing for the ordinance amending the Saldo landscaping ordinance.
So at this time, are you asking for public comment?
Yep, we have to allow for public comment. So we'll give it a couple minutes or if someone has something to say.
And if I may interject here while any members of the public put their comments together, I would recommend that the meeting minutes reflect the advertisement dates so that we can simply verify that the formalities were followed. And so in this case, the hearing was advertised in the Mercury on April the 22nd and April the 29th.
And that was for both ordinances.
That was for both ordinances, correct.
So right now we're currently talking about the subdivision and land development landscaping ordinance.
Yep.
And my understanding is that we'll have the hearing for both on the same day. Eric, this is when we're gonna have I know you're not a court reporter, but we're gonna have an official transcription of the hearing.
For the hearing. There doesn't need to be a court reporter, like you note. The meeting minutes would be sufficient as long as they're detailed enough to capture any public comment.
Okay, because when you say hearing, that's what I'm hearing that that's what a hearing is.
You are correct.
I do not see any public comment, Chuck.
Right. Okay, so we need a motion to basically, what's the right word, Mark?
Continue
this hearing on our June 3rd meeting. I, Chuck Yizer, will be willing to make the motion that we continue this hearing until our June 3rd, 2020 meeting.
I'll second that.
Oh,
sorry.
Noel, okay. Second. So Chuck Yizer made the motion. Noel Halter seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of continuing this hearing till June 3rd?
Aye.
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 Any against? No. So unanimous. Mark, the second one.
We will now do the same. We will open the hearing for the ordinance amending the Planning Commission ordinance to allow alternates. And we will take discussion or public comment.
And again, this hearing was advertised on the 22nd of April and the 29th of April.
I am not seeing any comments.
Okay.
So we can continue the hearing till June 3rd.
Yeah. Can I get a motion from somebody to continue the hearing till June 3rd?
Also move.
Marla Hexter makes the motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
Terry Bird seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any against? No. So unanimous. Okay, Mark, that leads us to item E, right? Prestige update.
Yep.
Let me just preface this with a few words. So for those of you who were in on our meeting last week, at the end of our work session or workshop meeting, we had a brief discussion on the Prestige land development. Quite honestly, I was getting ready for public comment, and the meeting or this discussion took me by surprise. It was not on my agenda to discuss it. But I recognize, having been on Planning Commission, that any land development, whether it's one lot, two lots, 50 lots, or 100 lots, is a sensitive issue, particularly for people who live in those areas. So the instructions that were given to our manager, Mark Hudson, were to contact the developer, Prestige, and to reconfirm where they are at in their decision-making process. I recognize that it would have been better to have, for me to have jumped in. Again, since I was caught off guard, I did not do that, and recommend that we do that at this meeting so that it was on the agenda and we acted on it in a meeting where it was advertised. We will do better in the future. With that said, Mark, can you recap what you have learned with this land development with Prestige?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to speak with Jim, who is the developer for Prestige. He originally came into the Planning Commission with a plan for Shahaki. During that time, it was mentioned that it would be an idea to have the development closer to the village center. He took that idea and ran with it. He met with the neighbor. But in the end, he has decided that for him and for his business model and the homes that he would like to build, his best bet is to stay with the Shahaki track. He hopes to submit plans for that, hopefully in the summer, preliminary plans. And so he's going back to his original plan and is looking forward to working with the township moving forward.
Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Mark? Great. Thank you, Mark.
Do we have any public comment on this issue?
You either want to do that now or at the end of the meeting.
We can do it either.
Like a no.
I'm not seeing anything right now, so we can, I mean, everyone has an opportunity to talk at the end of the meeting.
Once we get the public comment. Mm-hmm. Okay, solicitor report, Eric Brown.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Subjects that our office have addressed since the last meeting, two of them have already been addressed by Mark in his report. The one remaining issue would be the Sandbrook Development Escrow. The board authorized my office to prepare a deferral agreement and to pay particular mind with regard to the MPC deadline vesting requirements to ensure that the township's not waiving its legal position with regard to that. So that agreement was prepared. It should have been circulated to everyone. I understand that Mr. Sandbrook finds the agreement acceptable. And so if you've had the opportunity to review it and are ready to move forward, then that would be an action item for the board's consideration at this time.
Bruce is with us if we do have any questions.
I'm here.
Great, thank you.
I read through it and everything looks fine.
Any questions from our board members for either Eric or Bruce. Okay, so we need to have a motion to basically approve the agreement that with Bruce Sambrick to defer financial security requirement for his plan of 106 Alexander Drive.
Just a question for Eric. If for some reason, I don't foresee any, and I know, Bruce, you don't have a plan to develop, but if for some reason you changed your mind, what would happen? Is there any leeway for that, or is this a one-way deal?
Is that for Mr. Sambrick or for me?
That's for you, Eric.
If the developer were to change his mind and not want to proceed with the development?
No, want to proceed with the development.
Would want to proceed with the development? Well, this agreement would kick in and require that he comply with the conditions that you've imposed. But it would really be no different than if this agreement wasn't recorded. They're the same conditions that he would need to comply with posting them.
Thank you. That's the answer I was looking for.
So is anybody going to make a motion to approve the agreement with Mr. Sambrick?
All right, I'll move to approve the agreement with Bruce Sambrick to defer the financial security requirement for the plan at 106 Alexander Drive, Perky Emmonville, PA, 18074, property ID 38-00-00001-50-1.
That's Noel Halter making the motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second it, Dan Orff.
Dan Orff makes a second, has a second to Noel's motion. Anybody, any other questions at this time for either Eric or Bruce? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion made by Noel Halter, say aye.
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 Any against? Right, so that was unanimous.
Thank you, Bruce.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Eric, is there anything else in your report?
No, that's it for tonight.
Okay. Planning Commission. Planning Commission did not meet last month. And the comp plan group did not meet last month. As far as I know, Mark, you can concur. I believe the Planning Commission will be meeting this month via Zoom, right?
Yep, the Planning Commission will meet with Zoom this month, correct.
Okay. The comprehensive plan group, after talking to Crystal, and I mentioned this at last week's work session meeting as well. The next topic is a big one, and it involves community character, which I think should be more of an interactive exercise to get a good end result. Crystal felt strongly, as well as the planner, that we should table that exercise until we can physically be together in some way. In lieu of that, I know the county is preparing some sort of survey or questionnaire. I have not seen a final product on that, but that will at least keep people engaged until such time as we can move forward with the community character portion of the comprehensive plan. That's what I know.
Chuck, I've got a question. And we don't know what the future will hold, but if it looks like we will not be having in-person meetings for another month or two, is it possible to maybe temporarily skip this section and do something else that we can do in a Zoom meeting, or are we going to indefinitely defer? I mean, what?
That's a good question. I'll ask, Crystal and the planners what their recommendation would be.
Yeah, it just feels like, I think the last meeting we had was February. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's already May, so it would be a shame to, if there is something that we could do,
right,
in lieu of this section, it would be a shame to lose any more time on this, lose any more momentum.
Agreed. I will look into that, Marla.
Thank you.
Okay, park and recreation.
Okay, I have a report from the park board. The three new beds at the Village Center Park, also known as the CVS Park, have been weeded and they should be mulched again. The plantings installed last year are doing very well with only a few plants that did not survive through the winter. Weeding is continuing. Volunteers are always welcome. During an on-site parking board pre-meeting tour in February, a planting plan for the Village Center Park was initiated with the intent to identify modifications to and planting in the pre-existing beds to make them as low maintenance as possible without the use of chemicals harmful to pollinators. To that end, one of the pre-existing beds along the walkway is scheduled for planting Thursday, May 7th. Maximum of 4 people, 6 feet apart with mask on. The bed will be planted in perennials that should rapidly establish as ground cover to reduce the weeding burden. Plants are being donated. They have also received a very generous donation of $200 from American Gas that they'd like to thank American Gas for. And they're still very hopeful to hold the concert on July 30th with a rain date of August 13th.
Mark, I see that looks like Donna Lynn and Pam are both on this call. I just wanted to ask if either of you have anything to add.
No, that's pretty much it. We are going to have 3 people working on the bed tomorrow, so we will not exceed our limit for distancing.
Great, thank you.
Just a question, not really related to the beds, related to the mention of possibly having an event with people at it. Have provisions been made, are we aware, related to potential liability associated with any event with a large number of people? I mean, I know it's what they're planning to do or what they hope to do, but what would happen if something untoward occurred related to the virus situation?
This is a question for our solicitor.
I guess it's a question for our legal, our solicitor.
Good question without a clear answer, given the uniqueness of the times. And so I would use the rule of thumb of avoiding large meetings if it's foreseeable that it could harm someone or create injuries. So foreseeability, I think, is the test. And you may have some immunity provisions given that you're a governmental entity to any claims. But putting that aside for a moment, I would utilize a foreseeability, and to address foreseeability, I would confer with the county health department before convening large gatherings if there hasn't already been a public announcement that they are permitted.
Yeah, we'll be waiting to see what everything is, and they're just very hopeful that we can get back to some normalcy.
Okay, I just always worried about I just want to be cautious in what can happen.
Just trying to be hopefully optimistic and
not being routinely pessimistic, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, Dan, even if and when we go into the yellow, I think there are still social distancing requirements in the yellow. So I don't recall what they are, but.
Yeah, we won't speculate. I think it's a bit optimistic, but who knows?
Okay, any other questions, Park and Rec? That moves us to Environmental Advisory Council report. I don't know, are you doing that, Mark, or somebody else?
Yep, I got it. So the EAC met virtually via Zoom on Monday, April 27th. It was a 3-hour meeting. Roger Lehman of All County and Associates joined the virtual conference. All County is an engineering firm, and Roger is a principal there as well as a sewage enforcement officer. The members got to meet and talk with him about ultimately decided that Roger is qualified to deliver a proposed EAC outreach presentation on the topic of on-lot septic systems, the importance of their care and maintenance, and their value as a cost-effective, environmentally friendly option in a rural setting. Request to move forward with a tentative date that coincides with the September 2020 EAC meeting has been submitted to the Lower Frederick administration and is pending. We continue to discuss the need to address the problem of sump pumps displacing groundwater to surface water, particularly installed during new construction. We will strive to develop a proposal for action at the next meeting. They ran out of time to talk about tree protection. The EAC received a comment from the public in advance of the meeting that one that we were unable to address and do not expect to be able to for the foreseeable future. We are being asked to review any necessary changes to our code, including standards and minimizing permitting costs for the purpose of encouraging the installation of residential small wind systems. The next EAC meeting is scheduled for May 18th. That is not the normal day because the normal date of their meeting would be Memorial Day. They plan on doing that again via Zoom. And we still have the one vacant seat that we know about.
Right. Any questions for Mark on the Environmental Advisory Council's report? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Is there any new business? Mark, no new business?
I do have, just give me one second here. Two things. And Eric can help me out with this one. The blasting ordinance that we did last year, we wrote in a number 78. A recording company for our codes has asked us to allow us to renumber that to 43 to go in with their recording process. That's just just to let everyone know that that's going to be done. Eric says that's a common thing that they put in the ordinance that if it needs to be renumbered by the recording company that they can do that. The other thing is we had a little bit of an update. The Reynolds property that we've been talking about for a little while. As we talked about the, I think in our March meeting or April meeting, I did submit the grant application to the Schuylkill River Restoration Fund for the appraisal, to fund the appraisal of the Reynolds property. So that is out there and waiting. Mr. Reynolds did give Mr. Smith a call, and Tom would like to explore another option for land preservation. He has some interest as an alternative to the previous concept that was discussed. Mr. Smith asked Mr. Reynolds to give me a call, and he also said that he would tell us all what I just said. So I will be in touch with Mr. Reynolds in the early next week and touch base with him on the property and what his new idea is.
Okay. So the first thing, that's just a renumbering so that it shows up on E-code 360, right?
They have a system, so they wanted to stick with their system. When we gave it a number, we kind of threw it off. So, but like I said, Eric and I talked about it, and it's fine. And just wanted to let everyone know that the number that we called it would be just done, changed by the code. They keep everything in a numerical order.
Right. Any questions for Mark on new business? Or does anybody else have new business?
I do have one small thing. I had a meeting with Mark, Phil Smith, representatives from Land Trust, their site manager, from Limerick Township, Dan Kerr, to discuss the existing co-op agreement that exists, that was formed in, I believe, 2000, over the management of the property. Now that Valley Forge is no longer involved, we just wanted to get together and kind of regroup, reaffirm our commitment to the Meng Preserve and the Stonehill Greenway. It was a meeting of the minds. I think we all kind of came out on the same playing field, the same conditions applied prior to that, which is land, natural lands is for the majority part responsible for the Meng Preserve majority portion of the property. And as for the Stonehill Greenway, the properties owned by the respective townships are their responsibility as well. But I have a feeling we'll be doing, we'll be in more discussion as we go forward. I'm hoping to follow up with them in order to maybe do an amendment to the existing co-op agreement that, you know, kind of updates it, removing Valley Forge and then adding the additional piece of property that Limerick has purchased down the street on Meng Road that will hopefully become a new trailhead. But that settlement hasn't occurred yet, so we have a little bit of time before we can actually address that. Just wanted to keep you posted. But this also brings the township into a little bit more involvement with the property up there that kind of didn't really exist prior to this.
Great. No, I appreciate it.
Sorry, Noel, if there is any legal or contractual changes required, will that be initiated by the Lands Trust? They'll just let us know if anything's required?
Part of the discussion that we had about anything that does go on up there is that we would all be in connection. We're going to be sharing information with each other as far as contact information that if Lands Trust wants to make an alteration that they would, which they've already kind of been talking about moving the Blue Trail, which is completely impassable at this point. You can't even get on it. I haven't been on it in years. That they would be in touch with all the involved parties just to get a green light. And they also wanted to further clarify that that even though they're going to be working on the Meng portion of it, the preserve, that all work is pretty much on a volunteer basis, and that would probably apply as well for the property that's owned by the townships respectively. So anything that we do, we would have to generate our own energy for anything that we may or may not want to do. But we are responsible for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know that property's been, you know, heavily used recently. A lot of people out walking.
Yes. I've been up to the trailhead at Defi, and it's full most of the time. Full most of the time, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for attending that meeting. It's an important thing to keep on top of. Any other questions for Noel on new business? Great. Okay. That brings us to the public comment portion of our meeting. Mark, you're at the controls there.
I do want to just make one comment. Laura Frederick now has 9 confirmed COVID cases. So our numbers are rising very slowly, thankfully. But, you know, please, I know that the Foy Park, the parking lot for the trail, the Perkiomen Trailhead there, across the creek over at Springmount. If you're on the trail, please, you know, be practicing the social distancing. All parks are being inundated with people. So just while you're there, please practice social distancing and, you know, utilize the trails when you can. And if it seems too crowded, maybe try a different spot.
So Mark, you're scanning for any comments?
Yes, I am. I do have an email. I have an email from Mr. Burns. He has several things on here. Some of the things, Bob, I'm going to take this, I'm going to work with it and get you many of the answers. I know we did answer some of the questions already, but I can do a good job. There's several questions about, there's some questions about Ziegler-Ville Road widening. So I will work on that and get you answers to those questions. I can get you answers for some of these questions. Some of them I'm going to have to do a little research on.
Okay. That sounds like a way to approach it.
He has Goshen Road sidewalk. We talked about that. We talked about
Reynolds.
The Reynolds property.
He has a question here about the guide rail grant that we applied for Greeby Road. I believe we did not receive, we were not awarded that grant. Is that correct, Carol?
That is correct.
Okay. And I think Mark had already said that he's working on projections and tracking the what's going to happen to the earned income tax.
Yeah, so far grant, he has a question about the grant that was applied for the Bavington Riverside Fulmer. We are still waiting. They expect, Carol, the H2O grant is now expected, well, before the COVID-19, it was expected announcement in June.
July is what I recall the last hearing, and that was actually before the COVID-19. So I'll reach out to DCED and see if we can get an update on those.
So I will be in touch with Bob to go through many of these questions with him.
Great.
I'm looking at everything else, and currently I do not see, oh, here we go. Got a comment that everyone looks very nice in their photos.
We look younger on Zoom. Maybe we should do it all the time.
Everyone looks very nice on their video. I look 10 years younger.
Oh, and you're going to, for these all these comments for our minutes, does that comment want to be in the record or not?
That we look better on Zoom?
I'm just saying. Maybe... Thank you, whoever you are.
Anything else, Mark?
Hold on, I'm trying to. I got a question from Donna Lynn from Springmount. Do the EAC ordinance changes include residential or new building only? There is no ordinance changes yet. There are some proposed ordinances. There are some proposed ordinances, but nothing is done yet.
I'm sorry, Mark, could you read that question again?
Due to the new EAC ordinance changes included in residential or new building only. So I'm thinking she's asking about the sump pump. It's not, there's no new ordinance yet. They're looking at sump pumps and they're looking at what to suggest. I got a comment from Amy. Please read each question as they need to be part of the public record. I could read each question, but I'm not going to have any answers at the moment. So it's a very long list. I can try to put together a document and put it out. I'll take the board's direction.
Well, you know, one way is to include these questions, tack them onto our minutes so that they are there in the form that was received.
Where I can read the whole email if you would like, and then I can send answers when I get them.
How many questions are there, Mark?
It's a couple of pages worth of questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we need to put them into the public record. I mean, you want to, is Bob on the call? Is it okay if you summarize his questions like you did before and we just...
All right, I'll do that.
Put those in the record? I mean,
it seems like there's 19.
There's 19 questions here.
And I guess that I would say if it's okay with Bob to kind of summarize or characterize the subject, you know, Bob Burns, Zieglerville Road, had questions about A, B, C, D, E, F, and G without, if that's okay with him, then I think that would be okay.
All right, so when Zieglerville Road widening, including the handicap approaches, trench repairs, damage of offloading equipment at Zieglerville Road, received the ID2 wearing surface.
Super paved mix design.
Yep, so that's at the Arcadia. Along the eastern section of Zieglerville Road, from the boulevard entrance, the paving is below grade, ponding occurs at the inlets. Hopefully this work will be completed before 2020. Number three, the trees planted under the power lines. Trees planted under the power lines. Now is a good time to transplant them. Not later in the heat of summer. Other trees were on Janet Ragusa's. I heard they're being relocated. I'm working with Janet and the builder on that. And they plan to plant all the trees at the same time. I would expect that the fall. They would do the tree plantings. I don't know for sure. I can try to find out. Last July, the Board of Supervisors asked why occupancy permits were being issued when the storm sewer is not completed on site. I can get him an answer to that. Additionally, the storm sewer concrete pipe going under the road crossing to the Grimley property. I know that is being worked on by Ms. Schuler and the contractor and the site contractor. Additionally, the slope across from Mr. Grimley's barn at the area where the big boulders, where it looks like it exceeds township specs. I'll have to look at that. Brought up about adding 10% retainage to the escrow account since the project is over a year old. Carol had commented on this before. It needs more clarification from the solicitor. I'll have to talk with Carol about that. At what point will the tot lot be installed for the homeowners of the development to use, and the corner lot be regraded to plan specs and be offered to the township? I guess that's the open space he's referring to. That will be given to the township at the time of dedication. Goshen Rise sidewalk, we discussed. Reynolds property, we discussed. Just asked for updates on both of these.
Greeby Road guy rail, we discussed.
Gerloff Road bridge painting. I know that was brought up since 2018. Mr. Tobias was to get additional bids. So I have to discuss that with the board. Uh, Can the next meeting workshop have a discussion on the four roads? Woodside, Second Avenue, Schwenk, Evergreen. Schwenk, possible development, and also sanitary sewer project to help Schwenk and Salford Station Road. Listed in the 537 plan, Evergreen drainage issue at Main Street. I will look into those. We are looking at the, so what do the projections look like for the earned income tax so far this year with COVID-19 and unemployment? How far off are we? We're going to have to, we're looking at that. We're going to have to keep a very close eye on that. Right now, it really not has not affected us, but we expect to feel the effects of that sooner than later. Have we received a liquid fuel money for this year? Will any changes need to be made? Will the COVID-19 cause a lower liquid fuels money next year? I expect that it will cause lower next year. I want to try to get some information from PennDOT on that. And I, off the top of my head right now, I do not know if we got the liquid fuels money yet. We talked about the H2O grant. Upon hiring a new sanitary sewer engineer, does the township have a list of top priorities, such as the sewer treatment plan and its operation and recommendations, Babington, Fulmer, Riverside collection system, review the plans coming from developers and revising the 537 plan, balance of grant money received and not used to date? We're working on all of those items. Contractor license, can the supervisors look at this and if possible add commercial new construction, and also look at neighboring townships and what they charge? Seems our fee is a lot lower. Others I've looked at show $75 to $100 plus. At the time this was implemented, our staff and overhead was much lower. That's the end of the list. Like I said, I will work on getting some answers for these questions and try to get answers to Bob.
Mark, I'm just curious, were all of these questions meant to be addressed at the meeting, or are some of them just specifically meant for you to answer directly? Because it sounds like there's a mix.
I felt like I needed to read it though.
I understand.
They came in just before the meeting, as I understand it. I think Mark had forwarded it to all of us just prior to us starting this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't see that yet. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have access to my email right now. I just have a...
Same here.
Yeah. I just selected all and pasted it into a Word document. So I... Okay. Any other public comment, Mark? Can we do a motion for adjournment?
Let me refresh my email. Do I need to do that? Hold on 1 second. Brian Hill from Zieglerville Road. Question about securing the safety of the Delphi Trail. Many trees leaning over the trail. Trailhead between Moshe's and downtown.
You're talking about the trail that runs along the creek that is on county property, I'm assuming.
Okay, we can forward that email to the county. Thank you, Brian.
I'm assuming that's what that is.
That sounds right. Moshe to downtown. I'm assuming downtown is Schwanksville. The borough.
That would be my understanding.
Okay. That is all I am seeing.
Great. And I get a motion to adjourn. I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Chuck Yizer makes the motion. Marla Hexter seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you very much, everybody. Stay safe.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.